You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A few years ago, a well-known talk show host took time out of his busy schedule to make an automobile tour of the United States. He took along his tape recorder and he interviewed people from many walks of life. He interviewed a farmer, a piano tuner, a stockbroker. He spoke to a baseball player, a factory worker, a housewife, and a shipping clerk. Then he also interviewed a salesman, an office worker, a politician, a lawyer, a car salesman, and many, many others. Every person interviewed had a different story. And yet, the man interviewing was surprised, yes, even shocked, when many of these individuals spoke of a common complaint. They were finding very little meaning in their jobs. Going to work every day was absolute drudgery, and just getting through the day was considered by many a major accomplishment. The traveling talk show host then sifted through all the information he had gathered together, and then he sat down and wrote a book. It became a bestseller. In reading sections of this number one bestseller and hearing all these confessions of weariness of life, one immediately recalls a similar book with words penned generations ago on the pages of the bestseller of all times, the Bible. In the Bible, in the book of Job, we read the expressions of a tired man weary of life. Job said, "Is not man forced to labor on earth? And are not his days like the days of a hired man, as a slave who longs for the shade, and as a hired man who eagerly waits for his wages? So am I allotted months of vanity. And nights," Job said, "of trouble are also appointed me. When I lie down," he said, "when shall I rise? But the night continues, and I am continually tossing until dawn." This great personality of the Bible, Job, has been the subject of scores of dramatic plays on stages all over the world. All too often, however, the mercy of God and the grace of God is not always shown in Job's life. Job was able to persevere in difficulty only because of God's enabling power. Job was able to continue in life even when everything else looked hopeless only because God stood by him. Therefore, let us take Job's example for our role model, and let Job's faith be your own. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your daily strength and your persevering power. The Savior is the fountain of life, and from him comes endless life-giving strength. In Jesus Christ is your hope for this life and your blessed assurance of eternity. In the crucifixion cross of Jesus Christ is your total pardon from your sin, and in the Redeemer's resurrection is your glorious hope of life everlasting. Scores of individuals even today lament and cry out in weariness. The farmers, the factory workers, the housewives, and the office workers, just as Job did in the Bible. Their work often seems endless. Their pay is frequently less than expected, and their cherished goals of life appear not to be coming any closer. In fact, their goals appear to be sinking farther and farther away. There may be more truth than we would like to admit, publicly proclaimed through automobile bumper stickers which state, I owe, and off to work I go. Borrowed money and credit card debts have also contributed to the frustrations of numerous heads of households. In January, this dread often becomes a nightmare of reality. The celebrations are over, and the bills begin arriving, like an avalanche in the mailbox. This year's figures are not yet in, and yet the statistics for last year regarding credit card debt alone are absolutely frightening. Last year, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, Visa and MasterCard holders charged more than $13 billion, double the amount charged the previous year. Just the purchases during the few hours of Christmas Eve with credit cards set all-time records. One journalist who described the situation said this: many consumers may find their hope for getting ahead this next year sinking under newly acquired debts. 80% of the people who use a credit card make only the minimum requirement monthly payment simply because they are unable to do any more. Oh, it is during these January weeks immediately following the holidays that the devil tries hardest to break us down and drag us into the pits of despair. During these weeks, the devil will often use common frustrations of endless bills, family difficulties, and personal discouragement to break our spirits. For these reasons, you and I must take for ourselves the example of God-fearing and persevering Job. Poor Job, through a series of tragedies, he lost his wife and his children, and then his property also. He was afflicted with boils and ugly disease. And yet, in the midst of all of these most difficult times, Job still possessed a solid faith in God and an unwavering hope for the future. Because of God's reliable promises, Job confessed with confidence, "I have treasured the words of his mouth, God's word, more than my necessary food." In many trying days, the precious promises of God found in the sacred word of God were Job's only source of hope. With all the difficulties which faced him, and with all the turmoil swirling around him, and with even his closest friends deserting him, Job still realized by faith that even when all else fails, God can always be trusted, and that in the end God will abundantly bless all those who persevere unto the end in the faith. This God-sent confidence planted deeply in the soul of Job was destined to be recorded again centuries later in the inspired words of St. Paul, who wrote an encouraging letter to Timothy and said, "It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with Jesus Christ, we shall also live with him, and if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny Jesus, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, God remains faithful, for God cannot deny himself." Oh yes, my friend, in these troubling days of January, you may have made a mistake in your past, but God never does. You may have given up on God in the past, but God has not given up on you. Job preferred God's word, God's reliable and changeless promises, even more than the food for his very own stomach. Let God's unchanging word also be your hope today. Take an honest look at your situation. If you are weary of family disharmony, then grasp tightly the promise of God spoken through David the psalmist, who said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Again, the psalmist states, "Cast all your burdens upon the Lord, for he will sustain you." God created the world, didn't he? Is he not then also strong enough to handle all of your most difficult problems of your family and your marriage? Or maybe today you are retired. Perhaps you are now living in a retirement home. Or maybe you occupy a hospital ward, living out your final days or hours. Even in these last days, by God's power and with your God-given faith, refuse, yes, I say to you, refuse to give in to the demons of despair. Instead, live every hour with the words of the psalmist, who said, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." Oh, indeed, as we think of the brevity of life, how quickly it passes, every one of us, no matter what our age might be today, by faith, we can all possess the hope of St. Paul when he confessed, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Behold, St. Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Oh, indeed, because of the glorious resurrection of our blessed Savior, we can now say with St. Paul, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These promises, my friend, are not slogans. They are not clever expressions of the man-centered philosophy of positive thinking. These words have not been lifted from currently popular self-help books. These words come directly from the mouth of God. These living promises of God are being offered to you today for your help and your hope. Now consider all of God's grace and all of the mercy that He has shown you, and then say with Job, in spite of your misery and discouragement, that you will treasure the words of God's mouth more than any necessary food you may ever need. Oh, now let me ask you, how are you beginning the new year? Are you saddled with bills? Are you faced with mistakes of your past? If so, then be on the alert. Yes, you better be on the alert, because the devil, the evil one, shall certainly press you hard. The devil will do his best to defeat you. He is like a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking anyone that he can devour. The devil's goal, you see, is to wear you down and to destroy you eternally in hell. He desires to confuse your mind, especially during these weeks of the new year, so that you will stumble into his trap. Such life-strangling power the devil uses against those who are constantly worrying. Therefore, I suppose it is no wonder that greedy and clever men have set up businesses to take financial advantage of those caught in this satanic web of endless worry. Now, this may seem a bit odd to you, I know, and maybe even ridiculous, but did you know that there are actually now two companies in California established in order to offer their services to worry for other people? That's right. They are offering their services to worry for other people, for a price, of course. Whenever there is a scheme in life, there is always money involved, it seems at least. And one of the owners said, "We hope to do a great business when the worry season starts, just after Christmas, when the holiday shopping bills begin to arrive." This man also said, "We have one woman who worries about her toenails growing unevenly." In another situation, a man in Tennessee complained because his wife wouldn't kiss him, and she just grunted when he tried to talk to her. "But," said one company official, "the thing that people seem to be worried about most these days is money." And then almost in jest he added, "We have a couple people who actually have a lot of money, but they are worried to death because other people might get their money from them." And now, my friend, for you to remain calm and confident during these troubling January weeks, in the sea of daily turmoil and uncertainty, will not be easy. Our nature, yours and mine, corrupted by sin, wears down rapidly. In Job's situation, an additional weight was piled on top. Just when Job needed encouragement, just when he needed a life preserver in the ocean of uncertainty, oh, then his best friends, if you can call them his best friends, they threw him a bag of bricks. They began to blame him for everything that was going wrong. In fact, what Job's friends were telling Job was that he was being punished for his past sins. "Whoever perished from being innocent," they said, "or where have the godly people ever been destroyed?" Job's friends asked as they tempted him. According to what I've seen, Job's friend Eliphaz the Temanite answered, "Those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it." In fact, what Job's two friends were telling Job is this: "Job, you pretty well got what you deserved."
Nice friends, right? As the saying goes, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Perhaps as you listen today, you can identify with Job's dilemma. Do you ever recall a time in your own life when you could have used help or even just one little word of encouragement, but then even your best friends, not only did they not help, but instead they had the audacity to lay a guilt trip on you? It is precisely in days like this, when you feel so alone and so helpless, that you need the comforting hand of the blessed Savior Jesus. In days of darkness, O blessed Redeemer, the light of the whole world stands out for you like a beacon of hope, a haven of rest. Unwavering confidence, this is what pulled Job through. And with this faith, Job confessed, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Oh yes, you may say, those are nice words. They do sound nice when you are well, when you sing them at Easter celebrations. But you say, "I am sick, I have no future." Oh, my friend, you have a future, for it was while we were yet sinners that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And so now may I beg of you to throw off your old facade of sinful religiosity. Abandon your cloak of self-righteousness. And then by faith permit God, yes, permit God in His grace and mercy to clothe you with the perfect garment of hope, the perfect garment of help and of salvation, that glorious mantle of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. All those who possess this perfect righteousness of the beautiful Savior, and only those who are attired with this precious wedding garment, shall be welcomed into the great wedding feast of the Lamb, to be held on the final day, the day of judgment. Yes, my dear friend, for you today there is hope. No person can sink too deeply into sin or despair that God cannot rescue him. Let God's invitation through this message today give you life, and let it be for you a new beginning. Indeed, many of your challenges at this hour shall certainly continue during the coming weeks. But God, through faith in Jesus Christ, promises you strength to face every day, one day at a time. You will make it. The God of grace is with you. Turn away then from all your personal and pet sins. Turn away from all ideas of getting through life by yourself and begin today to rest in God's promise. "Fear not," says the Lord, "for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Fear not, God is saying to you, "for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." And so, my friend, God is with you. He will do for you what he did for Job. Begin today, then, to live with Job's glorious faith. Confess that the words and promises of God are more important for you than even the food for your stomach. And then also rejoice with Job in the blessed Christ-centered hope he possessed, saying, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And even though the skin worms shall certainly destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." And now, especially during these challenging weeks of January, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.